Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
I can, for my vehicle, I can go and I can get a Ford Motorcraft part for my truck, and that would be a genuine part for my truck, or I can choose to get something that is, again, secondhand. I can choose to get something that is manufactured otherwise, not a genuine Ford Motorcraft part, amen? So there's a difference between something that is, again, genuine and something that is generic. You see, generic, it means that it has no particular distinctive quality. It looks like it. It kind of functions like it. But it's not it. So again, whether it's a part or whether it's food, all right? How many knows there is a difference a lot of times within that which is generic versus that which is genuine? Because something that is genuine, it means this, having the reputed or apparent qualities or character of something. That means it is legit, it's bona fide, it's real. Now I know that I shop at Walmart. Anybody else shop at Walmart? You see, I understand that sometimes in life, we go generic, don't we? All right? We do, all right? And again, I think when we look back at this scripture, Paul says genuine faith is the words that he uses. Hold on, not yet. Hold on, not yet. You're getting ahead of me. Man. Well, y'all know where I'm going with this, don't you? You see, genuine faith, as Paul refers to it here, is faith that is unfeigned, sincere, and without hypocrisy. I want you to hear that again this morning. Paul says genuine faith, what that means, what that is prescribed to us this morning, it is a sincere faith, a faith that is without hypocrisy. You see, again, there is a difference between something that is genuine and something that is generic this morning, and yet often we settle for that which is generic. Again, I shop at Walmart. So if I go to buy my children Lucky Charms, they're straight out of luck, all right, because I'm getting magic treasures. Why am I getting magic treasures? Well, it says right on the box, it's a great value, right? I'm getting magic treasures. Because if you go to buy Lucky Charms, they're expensive, right? But how many knows there's a difference between Lucky Charms and magic treasures? Now, as a father, I will tell you, no, there is not. You suck it up and eat your magic treasures. As a consumer of the product, I will tell you that there is a difference. And Lucky Charms tastes better than magic treasures. Magic treasures doesn't even sound good. What is that? You see, why do we choose the generic over what is genuine? Because it costs less. It costs less. We don't have to shell out what we have to shell out for what's genuine. You see, we're okay with it costing less. Generic faith costs less. It's just like magic treasures. It looks a lot the same. It smells a lot the same. Some of the same flavors, some of the same shapes. But when you really get down to the ingredients of what's in Lucky Charms versus what's in magic treasures, when you really get down to the quality, like we mentioned before, there's a difference, and it's not quite the same. You see, generic faith costs less. It requires less of our time and less of our energy, and we're okay with it. Well, if I choose to live in this element of faith, I don't feel conviction or guilt when I don't give my time and service to the Lord. You see, it costs less. It requires less of our involvement and investment. Well, I'm okay with just giving this amount of my time. I'm okay with just giving this amount of my finances. I'm okay of only becoming this involved in the ministries because this costs me less. We want to discount faith. You see, it requires less time in God's word. It requires less time in prayer. It requires less time in serving and loving others. Generic faith costs less. You see, we have something, though, that is called genuine faith. He says, what I'm describing to you today is not generic. It's not minimalistic. It's not bare bones. What I'm trying to explain to you is that you have something that is genuine living inside of you. You have genuine faith. And when we have genuine faith, we are both a hearer and a doer of the word. But see, when we settle for generic, we say, here, okay, awesome, and then we sit down. You see, but genuine faith says, I'm going to hear the word and then I'm going to go do the word. I'm going to apply the word to my life and to my heart. I'm not just going to hear what it has to say, but I'm going to enact what it has to say. I'm going to allow my life to become a part of what it is. You see, there is no separation in that moment of genuine faith between our belief and our behavior. They both match up. It's not that we say one thing and do another, but it's that we say and we do the same thing. And so there's no confusion. There's no confusion for us. There's no confusion for our family. There's no confusion for the world, because when they see us, they're not saying, well, I wonder today how he's going to be living. Is he coming with the magic treasures or is he coming with the lucky charms? Because last week it looked to be rough. Last week it looked like he was eating magic treasures, and I think some of them may have fell on the floor. You see, there's a difference between faith that doesn't cost us anything and genuine faith that has everything. You see, when we have genuine faith, we reflect and we reproduce the qualities and characteristics of our Heavenly Father. What happens is they dig in and they say, man, this tastes just like Lucky Charms. You see, it's not generic. It's real. It's bona fide. It's the same thing. How many want to be known to be the same thing as your father? Amen? You see, when people look at me in my life, I don't want them to be like, well, box of magic treasures, it's occasionally delicious. I mean, no, he's a box of Lucky Charms. He's magically delicious. You see, I don't want to be subpar in my walk with Christ. I don't want to have things available to me from my Heavenly Father and me say, hey, that looks really great, but I'm not sure I can afford that, so I'm gonna get this because this costs less. Because how many knows what he has provided, he has also already paid for? So why are we settling for less than genuine when he has already bought and paid for all of it? The grocery bill's been paid. You can have Lucky Charms with the Lord every day of your life. And for some of you right now, you're like, what does Lucky Charms have to do with the Bible? It's just an analogy. You see, but instead of waking up and eating your Lucky Charms with the Lord, we wake up and we say, well, I'm not sure I can afford that. Even though you're telling me it's been bought and paid for and given to me for free and I can use it at my own will and pleasure, I'm going to stick with these magic treasures because it costs me less. I don't know about you, but I'm more worried today than ever about the church settling for anything less than genuine. I am tired of the body of Christ saying we will do this generically when we can do this thing genuinely. Specifically, if we look back into this scripture, there are two ways that genuine faith should be working in our lives. And I'm not saying it's the only way that genuine faith should be working in our lives, but there's two ways that I feel like the Lord led me this week. So I want to read again those verses that we did at the beginning. It says this, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Now, I want to read that in the Passion Translation as well this morning. It says, as I think of your strong faith that was passed down, everybody say passed down, through your family line. It began with your grandmother Lois, who passed it on to your dear mother Eunice. And it's clear that you too are following in the footsteps of their godly example. Everybody say godly example. You see, one of the things that we need to realize is that if we have a hold of genuine faith, not generic faith, that genuine faith becomes generational. It becomes generational. Now, does that mean that the next generation just inherit it and they have it? No, it is not automatic. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, it's not. Oh, come on. It's not automatic. You see, but it is our job to make it available. You see, genuine faith should be generational. It says, hey, I remember that this thing was first in your grandmother Lois, and then she passed it on to your mama Eunice, all right? And because mama was faithful, like grandmama was faithful, today you're standing in a position of genuine faith as they were standing in positions of genuine faith. Can I tell you today, if you settle for generic faith, your children and your grandchildren will settle for generic faith. They'll be eating magic treasures for the rest of their life and thinking they're on the way to the glory. You see, it should be generational. You see, at some point, I don't know that my grandfather, Henry Harrison Kincaid, I don't believe he may have been, but I don't know that he was a first-generation Christian for our family line or not. But what I do know is that him and my grandmother at some point came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. They gave their life to him, and they began to live a life of genuine faith. And that life of genuine faith that they began to live produced within my father the opportunity to accept and receive that same genuine faith in Jesus Christ. And because he had that opportunity and then took that opportunity to refuse generic faith and live in genuine faith, I came along and I had an opportunity because of my mother and my father to look at their lives and experience genuine faith. And so I made a decision. I said, this is good for them. It was good for grandma and grandpa. It's going to be good for me. Why? Because it was good for them? No, because I tasted. And it didn't taste like magic treasures. It tasted like Lucky Charms, and I wanted that because that was what I needed in my life. And so for me and my wife, we have taken our children and we have tried to show them genuine faith, not generic faith, but faith that will stand amongst the pressures of life, faith that will stand among the pressure of your peers and say, hey, you know what? I don't want to eat magic treasures when I can have Lucky Charms. And thankfully, at this moment, both of my children, at the young age that they are, have confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I have to believe that by the stories they tell me and by the things that I see happening in their lives, by the way that they interact and love people, that God is working in them with a genuine faith. They don't have a hold of magic treasures. They got a hold of Lucky Charms. You see, it should be generational. It should be generational this morning. Now, I understand. Today, I have five siblings. There's six of us all together. And I, without trying to pass judgment upon my siblings, two of them are definitely 100% serving the Lord this morning in genuine faith. Three of them are playing around with generic faith this morning. Same house, different results. Does that mean mom and dad failed? No. That means mom and dad made the opportunity. Some chose generic, some chose genuine. So I'm not saying this morning that if your child or grandchild is not serving the Lord that you have failed, but what I'm saying is reignite whatever it is that's inside of you and show them what genuine faith looks like to give them an opportunity to pass up generic and go to genuine. That's what I'm saying this morning. You see, there is no separation between our belief and our behavior. If we say that we have a hold of him like we say we have a hold of him, that faith should come out and it should be reflected as genuine this morning, amen? You see, I want to ask you a question. It's generational, so if it's generational, who's going to pick up your mantle of faith and move it to the next generation? Who's going to pick up your mantle of faith? And what are they picking up? Are they picking up a mantle of genuine faith or are they picking up a mantle of generic faith? Because whatever you're leaving behind them is what they will move forward. Well, that's not a fair question. I think it is. What is it that you're leaving behind? Because sadly, there's another thing beyond generic faith. It's no faith. I don't want to leave my children behind the thought that they need to attend church every week. I want to leave my children behind a faith that goes far beyond generic, goes straight into genuine so that they know that nothing is impossible with God. Emma told me the other day, she said, Dad, I know I can move mountains. And I said, I know you can, baby. And I believe she's going to. I believe she's going to give hell a run for its money. Amen? I'm preparing my children to give hell a run for its money. What are you doing with that mantle of faith that you possess? Who's going to pick it up? And when they pick it up, what are they picking up? The second thing is, it should be generating. Everybody say generating. If we go to verse 7, it says this. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. We clap our hands and we shout. You see, God has not given us a spirit of fear. There is no room for cowardice, for timidity in the body of Christ. He says, that's not from me. I'll give you love. I'll give you peace. I'll give you joy. I'll give you strength. He will give a lot of things, but he will never give us fear. He will never give us something that will cause us to turn away from genuine and satisfy ourselves with generic. He will never do that. He says, I'm not going to do this. But what I will do is I will give you power. I will give you love, and I will give you a sound mind. You see, God has not given us a spirit that lacks courage or self-confidence. But where is it in the church today? Where is our courage to stand tall regardless of what we may think is persecution or ridicule? Who cares if somebody doesn't exactly agree with what you agree with? Can you not still stand tall, confess Jesus Christ, and love them despite what they may think about you or what? I mean, come on. You see, this morning, God has not given us a spirit that lacks boldness or determination. So if we're not living in a place where we're full of courage and confidence and boldness and determination, you've probably been pouring a bowl of magic treasures for a long time. And you need to switch brands. And you need to go find you some Lucky Charms and let the Lord begin to move in you and through you, amen? God has given us a measure of faith. He has not given us fear, but it says in his word that he has given us a measure of faith, as we discussed just a few weeks ago. And in that measure of faith that he has given us, there is more than able to meet every need, every situation, every season of life. You see, what he has already placed inside of us and given us, it supersedes anything, any situation, any season of life that we may face. But are we willing to allow genuine faith to generate these things in our life? You see, again, genuine faith generates at least three distinct things. Number one, power. And simply that means this morning, the ability to perform. For us as the believer this morning, it means that it is the power to achieve by applying or living within God's inherent power and abilities. Again, how many can say it's not about me? It's all about him. You see, this morning, it has nothing to do with what we can accomplish, but it has everything to do with what we can accomplish when we allow him to work in us and through us. You see, he has already made this available. He says, I have given you this. The ability to make these things come to life, the ability to see them come to fruition, the miraculous, the supernatural, those things, he says, I'm just handing them over. You can work in this. You can live in this. I'm providing you this. It's like when Lucky Charms comes out with a special edition. And you get the, you know, it's not the normal shapes and marshmallows, but you got the extra marshmallow. You ever get the stuff with the extra marshmallows? Hey, if you're really wanting it, go down to the Amish store. They'll sell you a whole bag just of the marshmallows, all right? But they're generic, so don't fall for that. No, I'm just kidding. You see, we need this power. We need this power for personal spiritual growth. We need this power for the process of sanctification in our lives. Because how many knows that once we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're not done. We should be striving to look like him more and more every single day. his mindset, his qualities, his characteristics. Why? Because that is what describes genuine. We want to move from generic and we want to enter into genuine. You see, we need this power for ministry. We need this power for missions. We need this power for serving others. Why does Acts 1 and 8 say what it does? It says it because we know that before we can go out and do what we need to do, we need to receive the power first. Because it is the power that gives us the ability to be his witnesses. It gives us the ability to teach and disciple and to strengthen and to grow not only others but us as well. So he said he will give us that power and we need that power. But he also mentions love. Everybody say love. Yeah, that sounded real lovely this morning. You see, this love in a way is very simplistic. It is divine love from God that is imparted into us so that we may in turn impart that same love into the hearts and lives of others who are both saved and unsaved. Can I tell you this morning that we are to love unsaved people just as we are to love saved people? We're to love those who we feel are unlovable. We're to love those who we feel like don't deserve love. How many knows that some of us probably didn't deserve God's love, but he still gave it? So we need his power, we need his love. And he says, I have given you a sound mind. You see, that in the Greek means this. It means self-control and self-discipline. Now, we want to think it just means having your mind right. No, he says to get your mind right, you need to initiate some self-control and self-discipline. And when you initiate self-control and self-discipline, the mind will follow. It will produce, it says, sensible behavior that fits every situation. You want to quit acting like a fool? Get your mind right. And get your mind right through self-control and self-discipline. Stop acting like you have a right to be a fool during the week and then come to church and act like a Christian. Because what you have, it's not genuine faith at that point. You have generic faith, and you're settling for magic treasures. Well, that's harsh, Pastor John. I really wish you wouldn't have said it that way. Didn't plan for it, just came out. You see, having that sound mind, self-control, self-discipline, it's living out God's will by using sound reasoning and or judgment that is derived, again, from the practice of self-control and self-discipline. Oh, but I can't. It's just my flesh. Well, crucify your flesh daily, right? Don't wait to do it quarterly or halftime or at the end of the year before you're going to make a New Year's resolution for the year we're coming into. Crucify that junk daily. Get your flesh under control. Get your mind under control. Are you blood bought or what? You see, today we have available to us power, love, and a sound mind. We have that, but are we generating that? Because if we aren't generating those things in our lives or allowing the Holy Spirit to generate those things in our lives, what we're saying is I'm settling for generic faith. What we're saying is I'm happy with magic treasures. I don't want to settle. I'm done settling. I want genuine, 100% Holy Spirit bona fide power, love, sound mind, faith, moving forward in his might. You see, this morning, if our faith feels more generic than genuine, if our faith isn't influencing and impacting other generations around us, if our faith isn't generating power and love and a sound mind within our own hearts, we need to revisit verse 6 and then follow through. You see, verse 6 says this. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. He says, stir up the gift of God that is in you. Can I tell you this morning that all of you have been deposited? God has deposited a gift within each and every one of you. Some one, some two, some multiplied this morning. But regardless of what is in you via numbers, as we would like to maybe count them, Can I tell you that all you need is just that measure of faith that he's given this morning for your life to begin to be transformed and turned around and changed forever and ever and ever? You see, this morning we need to understand that we have to begin to stir up that which has already been placed inside us. Because if we don't stir it up, we will be settling. He says, I understand that sometimes the flame begins to die down. And it means to take that ember that is still burning and to begin to fan it, but to fan it back into a full-fledged flame that will create a fire. You see, we're not meant to smolder. We're meant to burn. And for a long time, I think the American church has been smoldering in generic faith, happy with our magic treasures. But today, I believe God is reminding us and calling us out. Stir up that gift of God that is in you. Begin to fan that flame and allow that flame to begin to consume your life and take you from a generic faith to a genuine faith. And because how many knows that people will come out and watch something burn? It can be 3:30 in the morning, and you may have to get up at like 6 o'clock. You hear the fire truck go by. You peek out the blinds. I snap, dude, Tom's house is on. No, Tom, I'm sorry. I shouldn't use Tom. I don't know what is a safe name right now. Dude's house is on fire. Nobody here named Dude, right? I can tell you, as days gone by of being a firefighter, I can tell you at 3:30 in the morning when you think nobody's out, you light something on fire. You will gain a whole neighborhood's attention real quick. Can I tell you that if we will move from generic faith to genuine faith, there will be a fire that is lit within inside of us, and it's going to grab some attention, and not like bad attention, like good attention, like, oh, whoa, what is that? What's going on? I need to find out a little bit more about that. And can I tell you that once something starts burning so hot, it tends to just move. And as it moves, it goes from a spark to a flame to a fire to a brush fire. You see, that's what you're meant to do today. To live in a generic, or without generic faith, moving into a genuine faith that will burn so bright that it just begins to consume. Well, that's, again, Pastor John, that sounds like that's going to be work. You know how hard it is to fan a flame? Okay, you eat your magic treasures, and I'll eat my lucky charms. You see, today I'm not willing to settle for anything less. The Passion Translation says, fan into a flame and rekindle the fire of the spiritual gift that God has imparted to you. The Amplified says, stir up, rekindle the embers of the, and fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, that inner fire that is within you. Can I tell you this morning that no matter what I do or say from this position, from my office, from a home visit, to a weekly random conversation, I cannot fan your flame. I can hand you a cup of gasoline. I can hand you the truth of God's word. I can pray for you, and I can pray that the Holy Spirit anoints you and empowers you, but until you take the initiative to fan your flame, you're just going to smolder. You're just going to sit there and be a bowl full of magic treasures when you have the potential to be a bowl full of lucky charms. If you would stand with me this morning. You see, stirring up that which God has placed in us will take us from generic to genuine faith. But we have to be willing to put in the effort. We have to say, you know what? I know that this looks like it costs less, but I'm willing to do whatever it takes to live in what has already been freely given and provided for me. You see, faith today, we need faith that is free from hypocrisy. You see, hypocrisy is basically this: behavior that contradicts what one claims to believe. I'm a Christian, but let me tell you this joke. Oh, sorry, it's got a couple cuss words in it. Stop. Sweet water and bitter water aren't supposed to flow from the same source. You see, we're talking about moving from generic to moving to genuine, allowing that process of sanctification to happen in our lives. I understand. This probably isn't popular this morning, but hey, guess what? God didn't employ me to be popular. You see, faith that isn't marked by the qualities and characteristics of God. You see, that's the kind of faith that we need this morning. Faith that when people look from the outside in, what they see is not who we are, but who he is living through us. That Christ-likeness. We need faith that helps us usher in spiritual transformation from generation to generation to generation to generation. It's our responsibility. You see, we need faith that lives in and produces power and love and a sound mind in our hearts and lives. So this morning, is your faith generic or is your faith genuine? Well, that sounds like you're judging. No, I'm asking you to judge this morning. I'm asking you to evaluate your heart, you to evaluate your life. I can look from the outside. I could maybe take a look at the fruit you're producing and make some assumptions. But the truth of the matter is this morning, whether you're living in generic or genuine faith, that's between you and the Lord. So which will it be? What is it that you're going to pass on to the next generation? A bowl of magic treasures or a bowl of Lucky Charms? Father, I thank you this morning for your word, and I thank you that God, as it challenges us to live higher, God, as it calls us away from who we are in our flesh without you, God, I pray that we would hear your word this morning. And God, that we would desire within our hearts genuine faith. God, faith that is unfeigned. God, faith that isn't sincere. Faith that is without hypocrisy. So that when people are watching us, so that when our children are watching us, our grandchildren, God, our neighbors, our coworkers, fellow students at school, God, that what they would see is not a contradiction between belief and behavior, but God, a harmonious relationship. God, that is burning bright for who you are and who you have created us to be. God, help us to never settle for what costs less. God, when you have provided something so much greater. God, I pray that as we live in genuine faith, that it will be generational and it will be generating. To the very best of our ability, God, as we stir up that gift that you have placed in us. God, as we fan that flame of faith, God, and choose willfully to burn for you. God, let us meet these questions this morning with honesty and respond appropriately, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. This morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ, if you're sitting here and you're going, man, I don't understand all of this magic treasures versus Lucky Charms. I don't understand this element of generic faith versus genuine faith. Can I tell you that it all begins with just knowing who Jesus Christ is? Just start there. And this morning, I can guarantee you that if you will just surrender your life to him and say, hey, I'm not sure about all the rest of this, but if you look to him, I guarantee you he'll begin to help you figure it out. So if that's you this morning, maybe you've never confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to make that opportunity available for you this morning. Maybe you have at one point, but you've kind of walked away and you've decided to live a different type of faith or with no faith at all. Today, I believe he's calling you home too, to return not to generic faith, but to return to a genuine faith this morning. And for those of you who maybe it's just that's been life. We settled for something less. We bought the great value even though it didn't really possess great value. I believe God is calling us to arise from generic faith to genuine faith this morning. If you you feel like any of that applies to you today, I want you to find a place to pray. And I want you to begin to cry out to the Lord and let him begin to transform and rework your life today. If you need prayer of agreement for anything in your body, your family, a situation, whatever it is, we want you to come forward this morning. Let us pray and believe that God is going to move on your behalf today.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.